Thanks so much, Dan. Thanks, Ben. Well, I am very excited to introduce our first storyteller for this series. I've actually had the opportunity to meet Nikki Nelson, probably 25 or 30 years ago, which is absolutely crazy. She was Nikki Nelson back then. I think what's really cool, some of you can't see this, but the first two rows here are like filled with like high school students, young people who know Nikki and who have been impacted by Nikki and her relationships, her encouraging, her ministry. And I'm sure that our whole room, there's people all around who are sitting here who have been impacted by Nikki. She's one of the best counselors I know. She's one of the best encouragers I know. And I'm excited. So if you please welcome Nikki Pauli here to the stage this morning.
You made me cry already.
I was trying to make her cry just to get her off to a really good start. So she's going to do a great job sharing her story, and I just ask that you give her your attention and your full support.
I did cry when I walked in and saw all my sweet students sitting here, so now I'm bawling. I'm Nikki. It's nice to be here with you this morning. I actually work here with high schoolers, like he said. I've worked here for 13 years, and I never planned on working at a church, honestly. I have a handful of kids, a handful of jobs. In addition to working here, I'm a therapist, and I get to teach people to be therapists, and I teach at the university. So I will get to all that, but I should probably start at the beginning. I was an 80s baby. I'm the firstborn of my parents, Karen and Gary Nelson. Not only was I the firstborn to my parents, but I was also the firstborn grandchild on both sides. So I blame my tendency to be bossy and overfunction on my birth order. I've always been bossy and felt responsible for everyone and everything. We lived in Stanwood, Iowa when I was little. It's very small, you probably haven't heard of it. It's about 700 people on Highway 30. Everyone knew everyone. We ran around the neighborhood as kids and everyone parented us. It was terrific. My parents would go on to have two more kids, my brother Kyle, who was 2 years younger than me. He was a chubby baby, and during those horrifically hot summers in the mid-80s, I would play with him by covering him, sweaty, fat little body with sand in the play box a lot of days. My mom did not find it as funny or as fun as I did. I recall one specific time when my little brother asked me to play baseball with him one day. I said I would do that, but he needed to play school with me first. And you guys, this worked to my benefit because I could tell time and he couldn't. So I devised a plan where we do 30 minutes of school first and then 30 minutes of baseball. So we had been playing school for probably about an hour, and my brother calmly said that it didn't seem like it was only 30 minutes. And I said we had a few minutes left, then we went outside, and I lasted about 10 minutes before I told him that time was up. Baseball was over. Kyle calmly responded and said, "Nikki, it just doesn't really feel like those were the same amount of time," to which I said, "Well, Kyle, time flies when you're having fun." I felt guilty for deceiving him, but I was resourceful, you could say. I knew how to hide my bossiness and get what I wanted. My little sister came along and she was a huge surprise to all of us. She is 7 years younger than me. I loved taking care of her and I loved that she looked up to me. My dad was the elementary PE teacher, coached a lot of sports, and came up with the best made-up games ever. We loved to play games that he invented. My mom stayed home with us most of the time and also so did Mary Kay. And I would love to play with the leftovers from the makeup parties after people left. I could go on and on about my childhood. It was great, and I'm very thankful. And I had really big feelings. I was the happiest kid you've ever seen, the most excited, the most scared, or the most angry. Every feeling I had was to the extreme. I was so dramatic, and the combo of me being drama and my big feelings might have worn my family members out from time to time. I can still be a bit much. My high schoolers would say that I'm extra. I prefer to be called passionate. I was a very lucky kid who had incredible parents who loved us very well and taught us about respect and hard work. We didn't have a lot of extra growing up, but I didn't notice. I loved every second. Another important part of my childhood is that my parents were youth group leaders in our small town. I was always around high schoolers when they would show support and taught them about Jesus. High schoolers can be challenging, not you guys, but other ones. My parents were consistent in showing up and speaking truth and love, and I learned so much about God's love by watching my parents. I remember riding in a car when I was about 5 years old and asking my mom about a sermon we had just heard. I asked her about knowing God and having a relationship with God, and she explained walking with Jesus in the most age-appropriate way, and I told her I wanted that. she prayed with me. How my parents lived their lives and lived out their faith impacted my view of Jesus and taught me about empathy and loving others. I have always had a simple faith and believe that God loved and forgave me. You parents who fear that you don't have an impact on your kids, as someone who works with kids, please hear me. You may not see it for years, but I promise the way you live your life is an example to your children. We ended up moving to Applington when I was in about fifth grade, and my dad had taken the job of the elementary principal there. Now, I know in fifth grade that you should be super embarrassed if your dad is the principal, but I thought it was really cool for some reason. We lived there for 2 years, and during this time, my parents got very involved in a church, and I learned a lot about putting God first in that small town. One specific memory that changed my life was when a high school boy from youth group, and he was the serious troublemaker, showed up to our house crying late one night. I remember listening to my parents talk to him and his dad. I was hiding behind the door. They didn't know I was there. His dad had showed up. His dad was clearly mad, and the son was mad, but also scared. And my parents were incredibly calm. They were able to talk this kid and his dad through whatever crisis they were in. And I've thought about that night a lot of times. I've thought about how calm and self-controlled my parents were when they were disciplining us and teaching us. I wish I was more like that. But that whole big feeling thing gets in the way sometimes. God is still working to help me develop self-control and compassion, and I saw that modeled by my parents. So ironically, this naughty kid that was at our house who came that night, he got into quite a bit of trouble and ran this big gambling ring at a state school. And I had to make a phone call to a local school recently, and it turned out he is the superintendent there. And that made me laugh. He's impacting kids in amazing ways. And he asked me how my parents were. And I have to tell you, that happens to me a lot. People telling me what an impact my parents had on them. Looking back, I'm in awe of what God did through my parents, showing Christ's love to students. Little did I know that God was teaching me about the importance of sharing his redemptive love to others. When I think about that kid, and I think about other people I've watched be transformed by Jesus, I am certain that God's love truly does change people. We moved to Mount Vernon right after sixth grade, and friends, middle school is not an ideal time to move your child. I had a big dramatic reaction each time we moved. Remember, I had big feelings. But I also secretly loved the idea of making new friends. The desire to connect with others was a passion God was growing in me even then. Mount Vernon was a great place to grow up. My mom started to work at a church and went back to school and ended up with her doctorate in theology. The day she graduated, she insisted that we call her Dr. Reverend Karen Nelson. My dad was an elementary principal and coached most of our youth sports. He is who instilled a love for sports in me. Still, I was the C team in everything. And when I say C team, I mean C team of a small town. Like, I sucked at every sport. I would later develop a desire to get better at athletics, and my dad would put in countless hours at the gym with me. I so appreciate him doing that for me. So, spoiler alert, I was not the coolest in middle school and high school. I wanted to be cool, I just couldn't quite figure out how to do it. I don't know why. I mean, look at how cool I was. I know I joke about this, but I really wanted to be friends with popular kids, and I struggled to figure out where I fit in. Looking back, I think it was because I wasn't authentic. I did, however, start to find joy in athletics and playing on school teams. My sophomore year, not much to my surprise and everyone else's, I won the 400 meters at the state track meet. And I remember thinking on the drive home from the meet that at least now my classmates would be impressed with what I had done and maybe that would get me some cool points. But apparently they did not care how fast I could run around in a circle. During this time, I was developing some thoughts about my worth that was what made people like me, that I could do things, that I needed to be successful, to have purpose, and to be liked. I really wanted the adoration of others. That would lead to some serious anxiety over the next few years. By the time my high school career was done, I'd won the Drake Relays, 8 state titles, and my senior year, I became the 4th girl in the history of Iowa to win 4 events at one state meet. And I was really lonely. It was during this time that I was getting to know more about God's character and who he wanted me to be. I don't know why I'm crying. The loneliness I had experienced led me to knowing God more intimately, and I started to care less about what other people thought of me and started to become more of my authentic self. I believe there was a direct correlation to the fact that I was spending time with God most nights, praying and reading my Bible. I was the Gazette Athlete of the Year my senior year, which led to the news station sending a young sports anchor to come interview me. That's when I met Jeff Minke, and little did I know that God would bring him back into my life to play an important role a little while later. I went up to UNI to run track. I didn't want to go there because that's where my parents went. But I fell in love with the coaches who treated me like family. I knew they loved and cared for me. I have so many good memories and experiences from my years as a student athlete at UNI. I met great friends who really cared about me and had similar values. I had lots of opportunities to grow in my faith through Basic, NAS, and Orchard. I grew a lot during this time. So did my anxiety. I didn't just want to get faster, I did not want to get beat. That was the goal of every race. I would later find out that achiever is one of my top strengths. I had success at UNI, won conference titles, won Drake Relays in the 400 hurdles. My son was critiquing my hurdle form, it's not ideal there. But honestly, my anxiety kept me from achieving the way I should have and kept me from enjoying the experiences the way I should have. I had my identity and purpose in success, and I put far too much pressure on myself. I'm grateful for the friendships, the coaches, the experiences, and the education I received. I tried to complete my undergrad and master's degree while I was on scholarship. And it turns out that when you graduate with an underdegree in psychology and sports psychology, there's nothing you can actually do. So I picked the master's program that I chose because it was the one that you didn't have to take the GRE to get into. And that's how I landed in mental health counseling, which is absolutely hilarious because it's been a terrific fit. Throughout this time in college, I had solid friends and mentors who encouraged me to grow in my faith. One verse that became my mantra was Psalm 46:10. It simply says, "Be still and know that I am God." God kept bringing that verse to my mind through sermons and other random places. For someone who tried to find purpose and achievement and worried about everything, this verse was perfect. It was helpful in dealing with my anxiety. I wanted to trust God to be who he said he was. I wanted to trust him so much that I could be still and find rest. My junior year, I was the only female to make it to nationals, and I sought advice from a successful teammate who had been there many times, Jacob Pauli. My kids were laughing so hard at these pictures. Apparently, they don't see us how we were. Weird. Jacob was a good friend of mine. He was really good looking, funny, charming. He was also a national champion in the pole vault. Honestly, most girls had crushes on him, but not me. I would never like the guy that everybody else liked. I saw him as a friend, and he saw me as a little sister. Plus, we both had long-term relationships. But when those ended, I'd love to say that it was romance from the start, but it wasn't. We cared deeply about each other, and we had a solid friendship that did grow into romance. But I couldn't get him to kiss me for a long time. He said it would be like kissing his sister. Don't worry, we've worked all that out. And our relationship moved fast. We'd already known each other well for 4 years. We started dating at the beginning of that school year, and were engaged by November, and that is not how you should do it, friends. Okay? Jacob proposed in the dome. This is a place we spent countless hours of our lives. Little did I know our friends and family were watching, hidden in the stands. And guess who Jacob had make the video that he showed on the Jumbotron when he proposed? Jeff Minke. How cool is that? I was so excited to be with Jacob. He loved Jesus. He treated me and everyone else with respect and kindness, and he made me laugh. I didn't really mind that he was a beast of an athlete and so very handsome. I felt confident because he loved me and he saw me for who I was. We got married and it was amazing. We continued to compete and travel and struggle to make it in the professional track and field world. God provided a free place for us to live. It was above a college ministry on the hill in return for us leading some Bible studies for college students. Jacob got signed with Nike and many thought he would be the next world record holder. A couple years into our marriage, my dad would have 2 strokes. We did not recognize the first one as a stroke and assumed he had the flu. So by the time the second episode happened, a few days later, it was really bad. He was life-flighted to Iowa City, and they discussed removing part of his skull and brain to allow for swelling. It sent me into a tailspin. It was so hard for me to see the strongest man that I'd ever known fighting for his life. This was the first time I realized I have absolutely no control over the things that matter most in this world. It took a long time, but he made a full recovery and luckily is still an incredible golfer. I was learning to trust God because I had no other option. There was nothing I could do to control this. I realized I could trust God with my dad, even if he didn't make it. And I could trust God with my feelings, no matter how big or out of control they were. My big feelings pushed other people away, but they weren't too big for God. I retired right before my second Olympic trials. It was easy to retire when I had a new purpose. I was pregnant. In the initial shock, I told Jacob I was pregnant through tears. He claims that I have the worst ways of announcing to him that I'm pregnant, and he's not wrong. I was 4 months pregnant when I felt our baby move for the first time while we were at the Olympic trials, and I was watching Jacob pole vault. Will Nelson Pauley was born a month early, and he hardly cried. I swear he smiled at me the moment that they handed him to me, and that's pretty much who he is today. So kind and strong. 8 months later, I was shocked to find out that we were expecting again. Julian Jacob Pauley was born on his dad's birthday. JJ was at his first track meet, the U.S. National Championships, when he was less than 2 weeks old. Two boys under two. We faced some struggles right after JJ was born. I lost my job. The company that I worked for got investigated for fraud. And conveniently, Jacob also lost a sponsorship at that same time. Oh, and my sister, who was living with us, she lost her job too because she worked at the same company as me. So there we were, three adults, two babies, one house, no steady income. Anxiety once again kept me up most nights. I am ashamed of how my anxiety negatively impacted my family and my marriage. Looking back, I learned tons about trusting, especially trusting God during these hard times. He showed up in real ways meeting our actual needs, like covering our mortgage payment during those hard months. One day we got a letter in the mail with a check almost exactly for the amount of our monthly house payment. No one could have known that amount. And there was simply a small note in it from Orchard saying it was a cup of cold water fund. Someone from this church thought we could use a little encouragement and relief. I was in awe of how God used his people to provide for my needs. I learned more about giving that day than any sermon. And since then, Jacob and I have been able to give much more freely. I could share countless stories of how God took care of us during this hard time. Like the one time I noticed that our car loan was not coming out of our bank account and it hadn't for 8 months. Obviously, I keep really good record. So I went to the bank and anxiously explained to the teller what was happening. He agreed the amount was not coming out of our account, as it should. Yet it was somehow saying paid each month. So I started to panic and said to him, there's no way I can actually pay you back if you're going to tell me I owe. And he smiled and said, I think you should be grateful. His words stopped me dead in my tracks and made me be still and know that God was God. God was teaching me gratitude through this random banker. I did get a new job with a local play therapist who had a successful practice in town. I was so relieved that she wanted me to work with her. Within 2 months of me starting there, she was diagnosed with an aggressive cancer and never left the hospital. She died within 2 weeks of her diagnosis. I was devastated, and I was having to support all her clients who were children who were grieving the loss of my friend. It was simply too much for me. Again, I was an anxious wreck. I trusted God in my heart, but my thoughts were out of control. At this time, Jeff Mickey approached me and asked me if I would like to apply for a high school ministry position. I knew I'd love working with him as my supervisor, but I did not want to work at a church. He reminded me that ministry had always been a part of my life and reminded me that it was something that Jacob and I enjoyed doing. Through some awkward conversations, including Jacob actually saying, don't do it, and Dave Bartlett telling me he didn't think I was the right fit for that particular job. God made it happen, and I started working the two jobs that worked so well together. And the flexibility allowed me to start teaching people to be therapists, and I really enjoy that. Better than I could have ever thought possible, God wove together seemingly different careers, which were perfect for me. And I get to coach track, which I love. To be 100% honest, a lot of these students sitting up front, I told them they got extra credit for track if they showed up. I'm a little manipulative. Okay. So I would love to tell you that our marriage has been a fairy tale, but it hasn't. The truth is that we are not really compatible. I love Jacob, and I would choose him over and over again. I admire and respect him. He makes me laugh now, more now than ever, but we butt heads often, and we've done some serious counseling. Dave Bartlett pointed out that our commitment to Jesus, each other, and our kids is what has anchored us. I wish I would have done better in those early years of supporting Jacob in his career. I know my anxiety got in the way, and I'm ashamed of that. But God is so gracious. Even When my anxiety caused pain, God was still there gently teaching me. Eventually, decades of launching himself through the air took a toll on Jacob's body, and he retired from vaulting. We had two more kids, sweet Violet, who ironically had circulation issues at birth and actually had purple arms and legs. Her name was Violet, and she was Violet. She is so much like me and challenges me to let go of my need for control. She is fierce and independent. And then came sweet Olive, and I for sure win the worst birth announcement for this one. Jacob was actually up here on this stage playing in the worship band, and I sent him a picture of a positive pregnancy test. Olive is slower to warm up, the opposite of me, but she is so fiercely loyal to her people and so dedicated. I'm in awe that God chooses us to get to raise these four amazing creatures, and I am confident that we fail them every day, but I also hope we're teaching them to love others and love Jesus above everything else. The way that God has used these high school students that I get to hang out with to shape my kids is unbelievable. I'm so thankful for this community and for our church and for the people who've poured into my family. I want my kids to make their own choices regarding faith, and I want to introduce them to the truths about who Jesus is, even the hard parts. Yes, I do brainwash them when they are little to think how I do. But I also hope to teach them to think critically and to disagree respectfully. I'm fine with questioning. Growing faith often asks questions. High school students have taught me that. And I want my kids to seek truth through the Holy Spirit. So, here I am today. The StrengthsFinder assessment was spot on when it said my greatest strengths were empathy, achiever, woo, harmony, and maximizer. And those gifts are also my biggest weaknesses, and often negatively impact my marriage and my life with my kids. A wise mentor once told me, Nikki, you can keep running life at this intense pace. You can manage a lot of things, but you're going to destroy your family. He's also taught me how to connect with the Holy Spirit when I have big feelings. I try to invite the Holy Spirit into my days and my feelings to help me understand myself and God and to discern God's voice in my life. My big feelings aren't too much for God, but I do need help with them. I'm learning and leaning into my strengths and trusting God with the shadow sides of those strengths. I love people. I love their stories. I love getting to walk with people at crucial times in their lives. It's an honor and a privilege. And I am amazed when over and over God shows up in the brokenness and brings healing and connection. I have learned that one of the ways that I deal with my anxiety is through trying to control everyone and everything around me. This is part of my brokenness. And my driving question is, do I have purpose? I want to help others find their answers too. That's why I love the work I get to do in ministry and counseling. I can't believe that God has used my brokenness to connect with others. There is so much power when we are honest about our brokenness with others. In closing, I want to share one amazing thing that God has been teaching me. I've learned that giving thanks is a huge part for me to combat anxiety. Over and over in the Bible, God tells us to be thankful. And I used to think that this was because God is like me and wants a pat on the back, because I want acknowledge for what I do. But I don't think God is like that. He doesn't need that from us. He asks us to be thankful to help us, because it changes us. Actual research in my field in mental health suggests that our brains and brain scans show that we are healthier when we practice saying thanks daily. Philippians 4, starting in verse 4, says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, whatever is excellent, if anything is praiseworthy, think about these things." Being a therapist has taught me that you don't really have to teach people to gripe and complain. But gratitude is a muscle that needs to be developed. And when we are grateful to God, it leads to peace. I still struggle with this. My worry leads to tension and causes pain to myself and others. My lack of trust and pushing my own agenda leads to chaos. Gratitude leads to peace. I want that instead. I know that I need to keep close to Jesus, to trust and follow him. The people he has brought into my life are incredible. And when I trust him and his timing, I'm at peace. When I push it and try to make what I want to happen, it leads to anxiety, irritable, frustration. I'm still wrestling with that same verse that God whispered to me so many years ago. Be still and know that I am God. I want to rest in that simple truth, and I want to be still. In closing, I am a work in progress. So are you. And I love how Philippians 1:6 says it. I find hope in this verse, and I think we all can find hope in it. It says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on until completion in the day of Christ Jesus. Thank you for letting me share.
Just stay right here for a second. I'm going to pray for you first. Is it true about the extra credit, or is that just
they want that cleared up? I mean, is Coach Holmwood in the room? So. I think we're giving extra credit, right?
Yep. All right. I learned so many things, and I was reminded of so many things as I looked at those pictures. One, I was reminded I had a crush on Jacob Hawley back then, right? Like, we could do like a coffee table book, the hairstyles of Jacob Hawley through the years. Also, I was reminded that your family is really cool. Like, you might be the least cool one in your family, right?
They are really cool. Yeah.
Seriously, what I learned is just how God has worked in your life through your woundedness, through some of your anxiety issues. The story about you and the loneliness that you had, it just resonates with so many of us, right? There's a loneliness. There's a desire to fit in. There's a desire to have a purpose or to be successful. And God has just used that in so many ways in your life because that is what you do. You help others to know that they're good enough, that they have purpose, that they're seen. And I think that's a beautiful thing about your ministry, about your counseling and what you do. So I would like to pray for you and your family, and I'm going to invite the band up, and we're going to sing some songs after that. Let's pray. God, I am so thankful for Nikki and for her family. I know my family, my kids, my wife and I, we have all been impacted by the love that she and Jacob and her kids have shown to us. I have learned so much from Nikki about gratitude, about encouraging people. I don't know anybody who encourages others better than Nikki Pauli. And so I thank you for the gift that she's been in our lives. I thank you for the gift that she is in these students who are here and so many other people in this room and outside of this room as well. And I know that that anxiety is a struggle for all of us and that it still rears its head sometimes in Nikki's life. And she still has that desire to achieve. And God, she desires to walk with you and have you lead her in that, even to those challenging places that are hard. And so I just ask you to continue to help her surrender. Continue to be active in her life and let her see how you're active in her life. And for the rest of us as well, help us to understand, Lord, that anxiety is a normal part of life, that we all have anxiety from time to time, and that that's really an invitation from you to join you and to trust you to lead us sometimes to places we don't want to go so that our trust in you and our view of you, our picture of your love for us can grow and get even bigger. I thank you for being such a good God. Help us now respond in worship. It's in your name we pray. Amen.